I'm an addict from Baltimore. My name is Erica. First and foremost, I have to thank God for allowing me to be here. Anywhere clean. Because I understand that it's only through God's grace and His mercy that I'm alive. I want to thank the committee for asking me to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. And for not putting me on the same panel with Sherman again. They finally broke us up. If I see one more CD that say Erica A. Baltimore and Sherman D.C., I thank God that y'all see something in me that a whole lot of times I don't see in myself. I thank God for hugs from people I don't know, that know my name, know what time I'm sharing, and what my topic is. So I came early and the room was empty. And I felt real good about that. God is amazing. And I don't care how many times I'm asked to do this, like I'm nervous. I'm scared to death. Anyone who thinks this is easy because it sounds like it's easy needs to understand that this is the most vulnerable state that I can ever be in, to expose all of me to all of you motherfuckers. And I'm grateful that I got here when I got here, because the only thing I know how to do is tell the truth. So let me tell you how convention circuit speakers work. They call you like 6 months ahead of time, tell you what your topic is. And if you've done this long enough, you understand that like by the time you get to the convention, that whatever the topic is, you will have experience in that area, because God sets you up. So let me tell you that 6 months ago, these motherfuckers called me. And they said my topic was the gift of desperation. The gift of desperation 6 months ago, so I'm going to talk about some good old crack using shit. Utter desperation, trying to get up out the crack house when I was comparing me up against the dope fiends, saying I wasn't that bad. So, you know, you start reading more because you want to be profound up this motherfucker. All these book reading, tradition studying, concept knowing motherfuckers, you got to share some shit from the book. So you get to reading this shit, get to looking up the word desperation, get prepared, you know. So, I'm looking up desperation in this loss of all hope. Did I get to this motherfucker? Go to sign in, you know, speakers got to sign in and let them know that we here. Then change my motherfucking topic. But God! Loving you and losing me! That's the same as the gift of desperation. I ain't got to read shit about that. I want to thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because I didn't get here because I heard about here. I'm not the addict to share that I earned my seat here. Because he had never existed. All I said was, God, please help me. And he delivered me here. Y'all loved me, hugged me, supported me, encouraged me, gave me dreams, goals, and aspirations. All I wanted to do was stop getting high. sponsorship. This ain't no motherfucking social club. This is a 12-step program. This is not, I thought I came here to stop getting high. Nobody told me I came here to start learning how to live. Agnes just talked about it. I got here and I said, I know. Shit, I've been a mother since I was 15 years old. I've been taking care of me and somebody half my motherfucking life. I know how to live. Then y'all told me that I was just surviving. That I had been reduced to an animalistic level. But then y'all told me that shit. I was below animal level. Because even a bird will feed his fucking child. So, if you in this room because of this motherfucking topic and you waiting for to hear some dysfunctional relationship shit, hold up, you gonna get it. Because I'm a dysfunctional motherfucker. Welcome. So, tired of loving you and losing me and, I want to thank my sponsor, Maxie. People from Baltimore go, oh shit, what that happened? Yeah, I made a decision to switch sponsors. And as I tell y'all about loving you and losing me, you understand why the decision was made. Because recovery is my responsibility. Y'all set me up and told me I wasn't responsible for my disease. I was only responsible for my recovery. Then y'all gave me motherfucking 8th and 9th step and fucked me up. Motherfucker, you responsible? I need to tell you that if you got a problem with God, faith, love, prayer, meditation, and motherfucker being in the same sentence, you're in the wrong meeting. Y'all gave me a God of my understanding, and I got a God that understands me. So, good message. Early on, we have found that we had no choice except to completely change our old ways of thinking or go back to using. Using what? Whatever the fuck will make me feel better. I will use you. And her. And him. Okay. It was a bad enough day. Some of y'all been around here double digit clean time and know that my story has changed. I came around in stilettos and matching pocketbooks.
Go ahead, girl.
Did a thorough 5th step. Came out that bitch in Timberland with a girlfriend. We find ourselves praying because it brings us peace and restores our confidence and character. It helps us to live a life that is free of fear and distrust. When we remove our selfish motives and pray for God and find feelings of peace and serenity, we begin to experience an awareness and an empathy with other people that was not possible before working this step. What step? I've been living in the 11th step. Living in the 11th step for about a year. And I know this because, it's funny because I need to share this. That, like, one of the topics we heard was, recovery is a process and not an event. And a process and not an event. But my girlfriend just recently changed sponsors. and an event fucking happened. Right, hold up. Where that shit come from? So let me tell you where I come from. We me and my girlfriend, we joked about the topic, loving you and losing me. She said, shit, I lost me 2 years ago. I was like, me too. So look, we codependent as a motherfucking comfortable in it. I need to be needed and she needs me. And let me tell you that, like, the biggest thing that came out of my fifth step other than the tip of lens was my fear of vulnerability. We talk about loving you and losing me. Like, I can't let you in. Because of what he did, she did, they did, us did, we did. I can't let you in. I gotta get you before you get me. If it looks like you get too close, I gotta fuck everything and run.
Go ahead.
So I've been in a relationship for 4 years. Somebody clap.
Go ahead, baby.
And a healthy relationship is just as healthy as the people that are in it. I've been sponsored through this program, and I thank God for sponsorship because it's only through the working knowledge of the 12 steps that I have the ability to look at me. I've been married 3 times. All my ex-husbands, my homeboys. Wasn't nobody shocked I was gay. I never gave a fuck about a motherfucker. Fuck them, duck them, leave them alone. I messed with men because they had money. They had big gold chains, big shiny cars, and a whole lot of money. I do. I only fuck with drug dealers and rich white men. They die or go to jail. Vulnerability. Can't nobody get up in here. I come from, don't kiss that motherfucker on the mouth. He might think you like him. Give me some shiny shit. Because as long as I got shiny shit, you say, Erica, you look nice and that. How you feeling? Because I can't tell you how I'm feeling because that puts me in a position of vulnerability. I gotta act like and look like everything is okay. And if I look like and act like everything is okay, y'all treat me like everything is okay. Then I start entertaining conversations with my disease. When it say you ain't shit, I start to believe it and act like a motherfucking fool. So I gotta lose me to love you. I gotta lose me to allow you to love me. I gotta lose me to accept the fact that you could possibly love me. I know who to fuck with. I like them dumb. I like them dumb and not in the fellowship. Cause this can get you some pussy. She's so smart. Oh my God, I love her. Dumb, 25. My daughter, 24. They need to be able to talk about clothes with each other and shit. Hang out, so I don't have to hang out with the dumb bitch. Because I just need a feeling to go away. And I don't need no conversation. I need to buy you something. You know, I need to take you somewhere you ain't never been. Teach you what fork to use and how to speak proper English. And then when I give you everything, you won't leave me because you need me. But then I met her. She ain't dumb. She got a motherfucking degree and speaks proper English regularly. She done taught English in China. She's been to Indonesia and Thailand. She make more money than me. She don't give a fuck about my Mercedes. She drive a Civic and the doors go pop, 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 and she don't give a fuck. She can hold conversations with me when I'm in hood mode, when I'm in good shit and little Erica from Baltimore mode, when I'm in dinner with the mayor mode, when I'm with motherfuckers off of TV mode, because we own the business, we own the public relations firm, and I'm not promoting them, I'm sharing a shot of hope that a dope fiend off the corner of Pennsylvania and Clifton Avenue is a partner with her partner in a business. Look, I get through some shit in our business because it's public relations. Like on April 18th, a national magazine was supposed to start following me and my stop quitting, my quitting smoking shit. I'm from Pennsylvania, Clifton Avenue, a national magazine. You know, want me to quit smoking, and they want to follow me with a photographer and shit. They can't come in here. So. About a year ago, I made a decision that I needed a closer relationship with God. Because she started saying shit like, them bitches really need you. They wouldn't fuck with you. She started pointing out my character defects. And calling out my shortcomings. You're so judgmental. You're arrogant. You're so critical. What is wrong with you, Erica? That's how she talks to me. What is wrong with you, Erica? I don't fucking know. But I'm gonna keep coming. What is wrong with me is I'm scared to death. Because I like them dumb. As a box of fucking rocks. And you too smart, too beautiful, too fucking intelligent, too goddamn creative, too motherfucking cultured, too motherfucking well-traveled, too motherfucking proper, too motherfucking from the other side of the track to possibly be able to love me. So as a let the walls down. I had to be taught that, like, being in love and being in a relationship is taking a risk. And I had to trust in a power greater than myself that I could take this risk and he wouldn't set me up for failure. That I could get a closer relationship with him and trust and believe that he would protect me from y'all, from her. God allowed me to be loved. So, I know that this process has been going on for about a year because I had to ask her. She know how long I've been changing for real in this area. I said, babe, how long is the traditional police, I'm going to say, she called me a Jesus freak. For the sake of we spiritual and religious, I'm a God freak. about 2 weeks ago, she said, look, do you want a stripper bitch or a Jesus bitch? Make up your mind. I want a combination of the two. Make it wiggle, boo, with the Bible. So like it's loving you and losing me, like I've been developing this closer, conscious relationship with God, and like I'm loving you and losing me, because I look at me, if what I say, do, think, act is pleasing to him, like y'all don't have to worry about me causing you harm. So what I watch on TV has changed. What I listen to in my car has changed. My circle got smaller. I'm walking a different path. I ain't better than the motherfucker. I'm just walking a different path. And on this different path that he's taking me on, some things had to go. I had to go. Because I'm loving you. And you're making me lose me. And I don't know about you, but I did a thorough six-step and found out that I didn't know who the fuck I was. So over the past 6 months, my daughter totaled that mistake. We was living like Mexicans. Because I got used to the chaos and confusion, and my guilt, my shame, and my embarrassment allowed me to hold on to my children that are grown. So where it should just be me, her, and my 7-year-old baby 7 years ago, I tripped over a dick. I got a baby.
Tripped over.
So where it should be just me, her, and the baby is me, her, the baby, my 19-year-old Oxycontin, Percocet stealing, Xanax taking, breaking into motherfuckers' houses, 19-year-old son on home monitor. Her Facebook all day, motherfucking daughter with no goddamn job. Living in our rental property for free. With the grandbaby. My 24-year-old daughter drop her baby off every motherfucking day. All day, all night. 2 dogs, a cat, a business, a mortgage. Lease on the motherfucking office. Life got overwhelming. We live life on life terms, and I gotta completely change my old way of thinking or go back to using. So, where she got enough sense to fuck everything and run, I change shit around and like feed my disease, or face everything and recover and make excuses for holding on to shit that I need to let go of. Because the chaos and confusion is comfortable. I know how to sleep on the sofa. With all the grandkids there, the dogs, the cats, and she upstairs like, I don't get the fuck out this motherfucker. This bitch is lost her mind. We don't have no peace. So, my daughter totaled the car. We living like Mexicans. No disrespect. Y'all know how y'all live. We had a crisis in our relationship. We started a business a little over a year ago, and through my inability to accept responsible, my personal responsibility, missed your court date. You out on bail. Fucking with Sherman and William F. Lynn and fucking Frederick Edel, Speaker James, driving 92 down motherfucking 70, got a $500 ticket, driver's license suspended, drive improvement class, you still want to drive, then take the tag off your son's car, put it on the car that ain't fucking registered or insured, motherfucking police pull your dumb ass over like the fucking SWAT team, like you was selling crack out the back of the fucking truck, said put your hands on the deck, put the window down. Put your hands on the desk. Put the window down. I think you want my hands on the desk or put the window down. And they locked my dumb ass up. Out on bail. Y'all want to ask me to do a motherfucking meeting? On bail. And don't go to court. Police knock on the door, and I told you she's not from the same side of the fence. We know what to do when the police knock on the door. But she doesn't. Come on in, officer.
Son removed from the house.
bowl. Fuck it. I gotta lose me. Come on, loving you. Now I just want the quality of my life to change. And if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I'm on the phone with a client, the project manager of a client. And I get honest. But this white motherfucker, you know. We own the company that, you know, we share clients. And I say, like, we looking for a rental property. And she said, well, I've got one. Where are you guys looking to spend? I said, $1,500 a month. She goes, well, it was actually, I was going to rent it out for $2,000, but for you guys, I'll do $15,000. So this is like a beautiful house on an acre lot. And the dear John riding lawnmower come with it. It got 2 fireplaces. And we free. And it's on the other side of the world where my daughter can't drop the kid off. It ain't on a bus line. So my burglary purposes today, the son can't drop by. You got enough room for me, her, the baby, and our nephew. I got a lawyer. Met him on the parking lot. I ain't going nowhere near that motherfucking house or that office. Tell this woman get recalled. Met my lawyer in the parking lot, paid his ass his goddamn retainer. He said, lay low. I said, okay. I'm watching what the fuck I post on Facebook. Yeah, I'm in Ocean City, bitches, but y'all don't know where. We're under no surveillance anytime. Shit. So, this is the first time in my life that, like, my everything, Frank, everything has changed. Everything that used to validate who I am. I ain't got no motherfucking money. I called my former sponsor sister, my friend, and said, you know what? I can't go to Ocean City. I gotta give a motherfucker $3,000. We gotta give a motherfucker $3,000 so we can move into our new house. I'm past showing up at a convention and coming home and all the fucking bills look. Hey, I left one out. Wednesday, the gas and electric got turned off. God said, go! You wanna come back to the house and hold on to it? Pay that motherfucking gas electric bill. Pay that back motherfucking mortgage. You wanna stay in this condition? Look, hold on to all that shit and see how comfortable you will be. Shut the shit down. I ain't sad. I'm free. Loving you. Losing me. So I went through this whole transition. My whole life has changed. So on my way down here, because I need to say that she was trying to convince me to move across the world, away from my safety net, away from my guilt. And, you know, I got to stay close to my kids. I got to be a grandmother because I wasn't a mother. And so I was like, no, we can't move that far because my father got diabetes. All these excuses that I got to stay in the chaos and confusion. And then I compromised. Because she said, look, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do, but I ain't living like this no more. I was like, oh shit. I moved. So we made a decision to move, and I'm going to wrap this up. On my way down here and going through all this transition, the quality of my life is changing. My whole life is changing, and I made a decision to switch sponsors 2 days ago because I got dreams, goals, and aspirations.
celebration. I'm trying to do some different things and be in a different area. And I said, would you please sponsor me? And I started asking him all these questions. I'm just saying, who's your sponsor? Who's your sponsor? What's your hunger? He said, this is my interview. I said, fuck yeah, it's an interview. I'm going to trust you with my life. And I love him, and he loves me, and we about to do some work. I said, do I have to go back over the stuff again? He said, I don't do that. Where you at? Let's keep it moving. So, for there to be a me. And to completely change who I thought I was. Allow a loving and caring God in my life to help me change me. To let you in, to love me, to stand up with the fear of vulnerability and just keep it moving. So I'm grateful to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful for a loving and caring God. I'm grateful with nothing. But I holler at y'all next year and let y'all know how, what you say, Sherman? How great, grand, and groovy shit is. Thanks for allowing me to share.